would you like to build your business to sell for a nine-figure exit? Ken Goodrich will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Ken Goodrich is that he's an entrepreneur and founder of multiple businesses that he's managed to sell for hundreds of millions of dollars. And he has been in the home services industry for most of his life, starting at the age of 10, when he held a flashlight for his father while repairing air conditioning units. And over 30 years, he acquired and expanded dozens of home services businesses, including Goto Air Conditioning and Plumbing and American Residential Services, generating hundreds of millions in annual sales for each. Now, Ken, please tell us, how can entrepreneurs build to sell for a nine-figure exit?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, I think number one is you got to have a plan. And when I talk about a plan is not a lofty executive plan that talks about here's my mission and vision and values. It's a operational plan on where I am today, where I want to be year 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, and establishing what are the resources that I'm going to need in each step of the way, by month, by week, whatever it takes to execute on my long-term plan. What I learned in the very beginning is if you build a business with the vision of building it and monetizing it one day, you will build the best business. Because to monetize a business, you have to have, one, all of the operational systems in place and executing well. Two, you have to have growth and scalability. Three, you got to have to have profit. And so if you focus on, I'm going to build a business that will be attractive to a buyer one day, but I need to know what the elements of what people buy, and I build that in my business over time, that is what will get you there to be attractive to a future buyer at exit. Now, it doesn't mean you have to exit, but certainly if you build it in that manner, you will have the most profitable, well-ran, least management-intensive business that you can build and scale and sell it when you want. And when the market's the best, or when your particular life situation dictates, that's what you want to do. So I always tell my friends and colleagues, build it to sell, and get off the bus when you're ready to get off the bus.
Thank you. What would you say is different from, let's say, setting up your business in a way that you know you are planning to make a nine-figure exit or beyond, versus a person who is just kind of like saying, okay, let me make this business as successful as it can possibly be? What would you say is different there in terms of the processes of how you operate and how you set up the entire business?
You know, I think most people make the error of when they start their business, they know they have a skill or a trade, and or they're going to create something and they want to bring that to the marketplace. And the error in the model is that that's not a business. That's a product or service. It's one element of the business. You know, I've always learned a lot from a book called The E-Myth by Michael E. Gerber. And, you know, I've studied that book for years and actually co-authored a book with him. But, you know, Michael's in his teachings, he talks about the seven centers of management attention, which is leadership, management, money, marketing, lead generation, lead conversion, and client fulfillment. And if you think about that, that's the seven centers of management attention, and client fulfillment, or doing the work, is only one of seven things that make up a true business operation. So I think people, they make a mistake thinking that the business is the service they provide. You know, when I first started business, I started in the air conditioning business. And so I got myself a van and some tools, and I went and started fixing air conditioners. And I learned pretty quickly that I didn't have a business, I had a job. And so number one is understanding what a business is, which is a set of processes that address the seven centers of management tension that make up your overall business system. So if you start day one saying, I got to build a business system, not I got to build a business, not I got to sell more work, I have to, the work of the leader is to lead the team to build the business system first. That's what building a business is all about.
Thank you. What are the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make when wanting to set up a business that will sell for nine figures?
I'm sorry, would you say that again?
What are the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make when setting up a business?
Oh, well, numerous. Let's start with what, my last topic was, is they don't start with the end in mind. You know, they don't understand what is the big overall plan? You know, I'll go back to Michael Gerber. He talks about defining your primary aim in life and then making that business facilitate all or part of your life. And so you need to sit back and reflect. And I understand life changes and it may change, but start with something in mind like, okay, I'm going to build this business for 10 years. I'm going to exit for this amount. I'm going to take that money and I'm going to do something different in this phase of my life and move forward. It's that level of planning and understanding and documenting and looking at it routinely so it keeps you on course. So number one. Number two, they don't know the numbers. They don't know the mathematics of the business. I can't tell you in our current venture, we're out doing some acquisitions to get footholds in certain cities. And we're meeting with lots of business owners that fit our profile. And I'm amazed about how many businesses don't have good accounting. They don't have good financial controls. They don't have good metrics to run the business. They're essentially flying blind. And most of them don't understand the math behind the business and understanding the basics of accounting. Gross profit, overhead, net profit margin, gross profit margin, and how to run your business with those tools. So the second thing would be know your numbers. And number three, you have to deliver world-class service in whatever you do. You have to be the best of the best. You have to deliver the best of the best, and you have to be the lowest cost producer and the highest price in your category to really create profitability and scalability. So be great at your customer service and understand the mathematics behind it.
Thank you. Where does someone go from, let's say I'm a great contractor, let's say I'm delivering great service already, and how do I go from, let's say, knowing I'm great at what I do, I'm amazing, and then duplicating myself so that another person who doesn't have my skills, doesn't know what I do, how can I transfer that knowledge to another person so that they would do it in exactly the same way as I do it? Now, I guess the obvious way to do it is to kind of create standard operating procedures, but how do you make sure that they actually deliver on the service that I would do with the same kind of like smile and charisma and, you know, making customers feel at ease? How can you not only document what you do, but make sure that the person who would duplicate me, let's say, would deliver the service in the same great way?
Well, let me start by saying this. In most industries, there's industry groups, either they're national organizations or their best practice groups that come out of the industry where the best practice group provides you the fundamental operating procedures of that type of business. And so you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. If you can find one of those best practice groups in home services, for instance, there's a lot of them where you can learn the fundamentals of the business. You can learn the mathematics behind the business. You can get the fundamental processes, like what's the scripts for answering the phone? What's the job descriptions for the type of positions that these businesses have. What's a typical org chart? So you can have a start and a foundation of the business, and then you can start to tweak it from there to make it your own creation. But I really recommend that you find a best practice group in your industry, or even a national industry group, and where you can get some fundamental knowledge on building your business system first. Now, as you go into documenting your processes and training, you know, your business has to be a school for your employees. You need to look at it like that. Your business is a school for your employees, and you have to have a team or the management team to free up some of their time to where they're constantly teaching and training your employees on your business processes and how your business works and how you want to deliver the service to your customers. For instance, the example used as a smile, and it's constant training and accountability. And then you have to count everything. You have to have systems in the business to count everything. And as you count the interactions between a customer service representative and a customer, for instance, and the results, you can back into who smiles, who doesn't smile. Here's what the numbers indicate, and you can manage your people that way. So it comes back to documenting the processes, serious training and a commitment to training your system to your team, and accountability and measurement. Measure everything.
Thank you. How did you start duplicating yourself and what you knew so that other people could deliver what you knew as good as you did?
Well, interesting story. So, you know, I struggled in the beginning, like probably most people who listen to this podcast, they struggle in the beginning to learn what a business is. And then once I kind of figured it out and I went out and I, you know, I got some books, like I referenced the E-Myth, and which was a powerful impact on my career. And then I started making sure that I would go to various business and industry events and connect with people who are doing it better than I, and really and getting my knowledge that way. So that's how I kind of gathered my understanding of the business and my contacts, so that I could pick up the phone every day and call somebody in Idaho and ask them, hey, how are you doing this? Hey, I saw you were doing this. Can you help me over here? And you build this community of like-minded people who are working on the same kind of business, and you share ideas and you share best practices and you share your processes. But I think that's a very important part of building a business.
Thank you. What do you think made you so successful? What was the reason why you actually were able to sell hundreds of millions of dollars, and why other people want to sell hundreds of millions of dollars, but they don't know how to do it? Like, where are they failing?
Number one, they don't have a plan, as I described, right? They don't have a plan. You know, I think the best thing that happened to me, and I'm not advocating anyone do this, but the best, but just think about, you know, how I got to where I am is I fundamentally failed within the first 2 years of starting my own business. You know, I owed my vendors a lot of money. I owed payroll taxes. You know, I was in a bad situation, and I had to figure out the business. So I started really focusing on building the system of my business and building my plan and where do I need to go next and adjusting my plan every single day and focusing more on, it was about the plan. It was about documenting the processes long before it was about the money. All I tried to do was bring in enough money for me to pay my rent and live meagerly while I was documenting the processes. And then once I kind of got a fundamental routine about it, the business started to work a little bit better. And then I was able to attract some talent, and I was able to teach them my fundamental processes. And then as I did that, we started to move up some. We started to get some more revenue, and I started to scale a bit. And then I figured out that there was a lot of people like me who had struggled or still struggling in my industry. So I started going around looking for the guys who were struggling and having a hard time. And I started acquiring them, because by that point, I had figured out, I'd cracked the code on how to do it. And so I started picking up my competitors who didn't know how to do it. And I would turn their business around pretty rapidly. I actually kind of became somewhat of a turnaround expert in my field because I had failed myself, dug myself out of the hole. And then I took my system and I started applying it to other businesses that I purchased.
How can an entrepreneur, let's say, who is currently suffering, who is currently failing, who is currently making all the wrong mistakes, turn their life around so they can go from below zero into a nine-figure exit? What kind of turning point do you feel needs to happen so that they can start making it happen for themselves?
I think you got to get an education, right? And I'm talking about not going to university specifically, but listening to this podcast routinely, picking up some ideas. Like I said earlier, being a part and surrounding yourself with like-minded people, surrounding yourself with people who are smarter and doing better than you, so you can understand how they put their business together. You know, it is a foreign concept for most people because most people, like I said earlier, believe that the business is the product and the service. And so, you know, you got to get around people. You got to take some time to sharpen your own saw by reading and listening to podcasts and listening to books and going on YouTube and all this. You find the information. You have to be, you know, you have to be all focused, 100% focused in on getting the information on how to put this business together. And it does not involve, it has very little to do with selling the current product or service that you can do at that moment. It's about documenting the system, being able to duplicate you by documented operations manual that you train to other people. And like I said earlier, it's constant accountability, constant measurement. The role of the leader is I'm measuring the performance of my system, not necessarily going out and selling the work or doing or representing the product or service that we build. There's some of that, but the real work of the leadership is perfecting the system and leading the system of the business.
Thank you. How can you motivate your team that, let's say, you're enrolling into doing your work? How can you enroll them so that they would deliver the service in the same way that you do it? So that you're not like, you know, coaxing them to turn up for work. You're not like persuading them, but they feel, you know, like led, they feel excited, they're motivated to come to work, and they have that same sort of like enthusiasm about delivering an amazing service as you always have.
Right. You know, what I learned early on was that people really want to be part of something. They want to be part of something bigger than themselves, and everybody has to work. And so being part of something bigger and seeing a future in your job is a natural place to start. So what I tried to do, and even when I couldn't make payroll on Friday, on Thursday, I would stand up in front of the team and I would share the vision. And here's who we're going to be. And I used to say everything that we're building today, because we were really focused on building our processes and our business system. And I would say everything we're building today will influence our entire industry in the future. We will do this. Everyone in this business will be part of changing an industry for the better, making a better opportunities for its owners and employees and everybody like you, building something better inside this community, in this industry. And this is what we're doing today. And I would give them this big vision on what we're doing and why it's meaningful and what's in it for them. And I would constantly be the evangelist to the business. So you really have to be a leader and the evangelist of the business and share where we're headed. And you get everybody excited, right? Okay, they're coming to work. I can't tell you, most of my operations, people say, I just can't wait to come to work every day because they know, they feel like they're doing meaningful work and they're feeling like they're accomplishing something. There's big goals out there set that you're talking about all the time. I think the right word is you have to be an evangelist for your business, an evangelist for your brand, and your number one customers as your team every single day, and making sure that they catch the bug too, like you have.
Thank you. In order to sell for a nine-figure exit, let's say 100 million, how much would you need to actually be earning? Is it 20 million profit per year, or could you give me a correction of what it should be?
Well, so I have built and sold six companies in my career to private equity, and it's market driven. So, you know, most businesses are sold on a multiple of what they call EBITDA, but let's for this conversation to make it easy, it's profit, you know, the multiple of the profit. And so, you know, it's a market situation. You know, the first ones I sold, you know, they were 5 years of profit of, you know, the last year's profit, 5 times. Sometimes I sold for 10, and my last one we sold for 21 times. So 21 years of profit. But there's a lot of things that go into that, like the scale, you know, how big is the business? You know, the smaller businesses trade for less. The bigger businesses trade for more multiples of profit because, and if they have a scalability, then private equity can deploy more capital, make a bigger investment, and make larger returns for their funds. So, you know, it is market driven, but I think a good rule of thumb for today is for a smaller business, you know, let's say making, we'll stick to $1 million in profit a year. You know, those businesses are trading for, you know, 5-6 times, 5-6 times the profit. Bigger businesses, once you start hitting over 10 million, maybe you're at 10 times, maybe you're at 12 times. Then you start getting into the next sector, you know, 17 million to 20 million. Now those are starting to approach 15 to 17 times. So it's just the market, and it's all really relative to all kinds of financial, you know, the economy, such as interest rates. When the interest rates were really low, you know, over the last, you know, past, you know, maybe 3 years ago, and money was essentially free to these investors, you know, they would pay more because they didn't have the cost of the interest expense. So it's very market driven. And this is a place where you need to pay attention. You know, when I built and sold my six businesses, I was able to kind of understand in time when the markets were at their peak. And I've done every deal I have. Now, the first two, I would say, were just by luck, you know, like hitting the green lights, all the green lights down the road, the first two. After that, I figured out how to time it and understand when the markets were going to get the ripest for the sale or maximize your sale. Think about it no different than, you know, a piece of real estate you own, a house, for instance. When you say, hey, the market's so good, I should take my profit now and invest into a bigger or better property. It's kind of the same formula.
Thank you. What are some other key performance indicators that entrepreneurs should know about when they're planning to build a company to sell it for nine figures?
You know, there's so many KPIs that people can to implement, but, you know, I think the top ones, I think what everybody kind of misses is gross profit or gross margin. Gross profit is represented in dollars. Gross margin is represented in percentage. But I see everybody miss that one. And that's more of an accounting thing. And it's not necessarily a KPI, but it's something that we measure on every venture I've ever had. What's the gross profit and what's the net profit margin? And so you understand how to balance between, you know, the pricing that you sell to your customers and your overhead, the overhead and support system that you need to create that revenue and gross profit, and the rest of it's left over is net profit. So really, I want to make sure that your listeners understand this. You have to know your numbers. You have to know your numbers from day one. From day one, you decide to start a business. If you really want to get out and not stall or get yourself in a place where you have to stop for a few months and get your accounting fixed, which will slow you down, start day one with good accounting. Go align yourself with your own controller in your business or bookkeeping your business or outside accountant who's giving you good numbers and you are paying attention to it yourself until you clearly understand how a P&L and a balance sheet works, and you can drive the business from that. Otherwise, you're just flying blind. Imagine if you got an airplane and you're flying in the air and there's no gauges. You don't know how much gas you have. You don't know how fast you're going. You don't know how high you're going. It's the same thing if you don't really know all of your numbers on your and have really good financials. I'll say this one last thing on this topic. When I first started in business and I was struggling, I got this book written by Tom Monahan, and he was the founder of Domino's Pizza. And in the book, it said, you know, why he called it Domino's Pizza, because he had several ventures in the pizza business before Domino's that went under, that failed. And he was thinking, let's name it Domino's because they keep falling like dominoes. That was the origin of the name Domino's Pizza. But anyway, what he had learned from his failures was hire three times more accountants than you really need. Now, that's a dramatic statement, but what he was trying to tell us is know your numbers. So the key performance indicators, when I talked about the best practice groups earlier, there's a lot of fundamental ones that come with each and every industry that you know, you can apply and understand. And then, you know, there's some fundamental business ones that everybody can get their hands on, but on the internet, you know, such as return on sales, you know, all the marketing KPIs, all the sales KPIs, all the operational KPIs. There's hundreds of them. And I would also say that you try to, once you understand how to measure things, that you figure out what the vital factors are. What are the vital factors of the business? And try to keep it down to a manageable number, you know, 3 to 5. Here's 3 to 5 things that I need to measure that I know that keeps this business on track every single day. And you watch them like a hawk, no different than you would be watching the fuel gauge on your airplane.
Thank you. What are some hacks to add value to your business that most entrepreneurs don't think about?
Raise your prices. Number one, raise your prices. The number one thing I see when I go into businesses to acquire, or, you know, I talk to people all over the world about their businesses and their challenges, all kinds of different businesses. And number one, most people don't know their numbers. But number two, you know, what I learned was once you understand the math behind the business, getting to the correct price that you sell to your customers is easy because you clearly understand. I did the math. I know that if I charge less, I won't make any profit. Right now, most people are struggling. They're desperate for the cash flow and they're living on cash flow. And to get out of that trap is so difficult. So if you start from day one, understanding the math and the numbers, then you can execute well.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.